Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Bien, gracias. Bienvenidos a Verdad Versad.
Welcome to Verdad Very Sad. Speaking of translating things, before we get started here, this is not a newcomer episode, but I just wanted to have a quick story.
Tell me.
We recently translated Coma la Flor,
We did.
which I've heard before, and I've had people like translate for me. Like they were listening to it and they're like, oh, she's sad, and this is what it's about. That song is so sad.
It is, yes.
Like I like
Como la
when
flor by Selena,
yeah when
yes.
you're actually like looking at the lyrics, I'd never done like a side-by-side analysis before, and this was before I could kind of speak any Spanish. This was when I first had it translated, and then like re-looking at the lyrics, I'm like, oh wow, they were really underselling it with their translation the first time around.
Yeah, it's very sad.
I just thought that was funny. Anyway, so much has happened, and
In the game.
I have been dying.
You have been dying to tell
I've
me about
been
it.
dying to tell you about it.
He has refused to tell me anything about it up until this point because he's so excited to tell me about it now. So let's jump in, Mr. G, tell me everything.
Period two, now has more stocks in the sea. Last time we were talking about
Oh.
79. Would you like to
Yeah.
guess how many they have now?
85.
143.
Oh my God,
Yeah,
143?
143
How many
stocks.
stocks are even in possession of people right now?
I'm not sure, but I mean, we're it's got to be close to even. That's 14 people,
Yeah, oh
and the
my
class
goodness.
has like 30 kids.
That's crazy. Okay,
Yeah,
people keep selling their
and
stocks to the
actually,
bank.
yeah, actually, two of those kids. There's 31 kids in the class. Two of those kids are just fully not playing the game, which means it is almost
Wild.
exactly half.
Okay, so we have a lot of stocks in
Slightly
the
more than
sea.
half, yeah, of the stocks are in the sea. You pick up the bucket and it like sloshes around. Ergo the sea, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that's interesting to me. It's much more aggressive. We talked about the resources, and we've finally been seeing these resources in action. We know Fergus set off for Bobby Land last episode,
Yes, in his ship.
so he'll be making contact.
Be docking his boat.
He'll be docking his boat in the second day of this episode.
All right, very exciting.
Gucci Napkin has done something
All
revolutionary, and you
right.
will not be able to guess what it is. Would you like to try, or are you just gonna not even try?
I don't know. Tell me, what did Gucci Napkin do?
Gucci Napkin is selling fruit snacks.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
What do you
He
mean?
took a stack of Post-it notes
Okay.
and then a highlighter, and
Okay.
he highlighted on the side of the Post-it notes, and it's two colors on the highlighter,
Oh, okay.
but so the Post-it notes are unique, and then he's selling them as fruit snacks.
I don't understand.
It's a cryptocurrency that he's calling fruit snacks.
Sorry, Gucci Napkin just started a Post-it note
He
cryptocurrency
has.
called Fruit
He
Snacks.
has.
Oh
So here's what he did.
Okay.
Is he walked up to Mexicali, right? And he says, for one fruit snack, for one of these Post-it notes, which I'm calling a fruit snack, for one fruit snack, I will sell it to you for a dollar.
Okay.
And a dollar at this point in the game is worth almost nothing.
Okay, but what does the purchaser get in
The
return?
purchaser gets a fruit snack.
But what does that do?
It's a fruit snack. Gucci Napkin promised that it would be worth more later.
But, and people just believed him?
Well, here's the thing. So he makes this first sale to Mexicali, right?
Okay.
Then Mexicali buys it for a dollar because a dollar is worth almost nothing. People's stocks are worth like $27, and like oftentimes you're just like left with like these like $1, like it's like change,
Okay, so he sells it to him for a dollar.
Right. And then he goes up to the next person and says, "Hey, somebody else is paying money for these. They're worth something." He's using the previous sale as evidence that it's worth something, and it's
Okay.
working.
So now everyone's buying these fruit
Not
snacks?
everyone, but like he is making sales and he is making money this way.
But what is he going to give these people in return?
Nothing. It's he's giving them a fruit snack. He's trying to establish his own currency within the game.
So the theory would then be that Mexicali could then go sell that fruit snack to someone,
else. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And Gucci Napkins seems to be in this with Yuri, which is kind of unusual. A, because I didn't know that they were really friends, and B, because Yuri is not part of the suburb cartel.
Yeah.
He's nowhere related, and it's like borderline rivals with them, maybe.
Interesting.
But they seem to get along with this. They seem like they're both into this, and so they're just both agreeing that these fruit snacks are, like, you know, worth selling, I guess, together.
Okay. And from an instructional perspective, are you allowing this? Do you think it's going to break the game?
From an instructional perspective, it's brilliant. It's brilliant because I don't recognize the value of fruit snacks.
That's true. So the bank will not recognize
the bank doesn't recognize fruit snacks as a viable currency.
Okay.
You cannot pay for your soldier in fruit snacks.
Got it.
But he got on the first day, he sold 1 for $1, and then he sold 2 for $10, and then he sold $3 for $16.
$3 for $16.
Mm-hmm. And he's using these previous sales.
Yes.
To prove the point.
Something is only worth as much as people will pay for it.
Right, and he's like, people are paying for this. This is worth something. And this is just like a stack of post-it notes.
Oh my goodness.
With colors on the side, making them non-fungible.
Gucci napkin. Rap star plays again.
So interesting. So interesting.
We need to get our tech guy to embed that song anytime we bring Gucci napkin up.
Anyway... They pump up Bucky Barnes again, mm-hmm. So they're super soldier. Now Bucky Barnes is a strength of 400.
Mm-hmm. Word on the street is Bucky Barnes got a makeover also.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. He's gone from being a doodle on a piece of paper a cutout of Bucky Barnes.
We now have a physical cutout of Bucky Barnes to represent Bucky Barnes, just because Peyton and I were making the meme out of this. Did we introduce ourselves this episode?
We didn't.
You're Peyton.
I am, and you're Ben.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that we established that.
But yeah, so he's really, really saying this. And Yuri at brunch or at lunch actually sold some to Maxville, which I made them reverse that because the contact had not been made at that point.
Agreed.
But Maxville was going to take the deal.
He was going to purchase a fruit mm-hmm. snack.
And later, for those of you keeping track of Gucci Napkin's resources, Gucci Napkin actually did get the resources to buy a plane this week.
Oh, okay.
And later, Gucci Napkin took some of the fruit snacks and did fly them to Maxville directly.
Okay.
And an exchange was made, where I think Maxville bought, like, 2 for $30. Like, these are going up in price.
I think that... I don't want to, like, use the term evil genius, but I think that Gucci Napkin is, like, some sort of... His ability to socially engineer is admirable and concerning. Yes, admirable and concerning.
But really impressive, and I just love the creativity he's putting into this game.
For sure.
You know, that's incredible creativity to come up with something like that. Anyway... His total kind of, like, liquid resources, I'm calling them digital resources, like, these are your stocks and your dollars,
mm-hmm.
stuff which is directly equivalent to money.
Yeah.
Are $900.
Why are you calling them digital resources?
Because, okay, that's a good question. I drew the line between digital resources and physical resources, like oil, iron, and such.
Okay.
Because... the digital resources are, by your term, wireable.
Got it. That's right. Okay.
You can transfer them, so to speak, electronically.
I was a little confused because, like, though you have physical money in the game. But
no, wireable is just a difficult word for me to say.
Wireable. Okay, yeah. So digital.
Digital, you know.
So his net worth is $900?
His for the digital resources. For the stocks and the money, if you mm-hmm. added them up, it's $900.
And how much of the economy is that?
I actually have no idea. I can check right now.
Because that's crazy, $900. I wonder if that's all his. Like, is he in debt to someone?
No, he's not going to be in debt to anybody. I mean, remember, this is the guy that was, like, getting people to pay him just not to attack.
Yeah. That's true. But there is such a thing as good debt, which it wouldn't surprise me if you figured that out.
It would not surprise me if you figured that out. Holy shoot. Okay, period 2 equals 900 over... So of all the wealth in the class, that is not a fraction that I wanted. Can I format this not as a fraction? Format.
This is why we got our degrees in English, people.
Number. Oh, he owns 17%.
Of the economy.
Of the economy in second.
Oh, dear me. So almost a fifth.
And there are 28 people. No, 29 people. And he owns 17% of the second period economy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a big step up from what we were talking about previously of the 6% mark we were using with Moleskatta. That's almost triple.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this fruit snack thing plays out.
I will be interested too, but I mean, he can't lose money like that.
No, not unless he has a ride on his hands. Not unless a riot is started and there's a march on Gucci napkin.
Yeah. But I mean, people are seeing this power. We've got Theo Von, who seems like he's trying to align with the suburb cartel, and he's doing this by basically he added, what was it, $100 to Gucci Napkin's oil well. So now it's level like 36 or something.
Wow.
Okay. So now he's going to be getting a new plane every 3 days.
Oh my goodness.
Which is, and it's an incredible amount of wealth, and it's an incredible show of strength.
I think you might have to nerf this kid at some point.
Yeah, well, I have to nerf the planes. For sure, for next time, the planes and the boats are not equal strength. And I did not properly account for that. And so my initial thought was, you get one iron every day, and you get one oil every day. So, it takes only 10 days to get an iron. It only takes 10 days to get a boat, and it takes 100 days to get a plane.
Yeah.
Right? But it was, there was, so to speak, an incorrect calculation in here, which is it takes the same amount of time to get a level 100 of that thing.
Got it.
So if you want a level 100 boat...
Mm-hmm.
It takes 100 days still.
Yes.
And then if... So after 100 days, you're just left with these two things of equal strength, one of which is just massively slower than the other.
Yeah.
So I need, I think, for next time, to nerf that.
For sure.
And one of the ways I'm thinking of nerfing that is making planes more fragile.
Okay.
Like, they keep the health, but, like, let's say they take damage. Like, they attack someone and they lose. Maybe they just lose automatically. Like, the plane just, so to speak, crashes.
Crashes. That would make sense.
And because there's this kind of huge snowballing effect that's happening here, where he's going to get a plane of 100, on Monday... And he's going to get another plane of 100 on basically Friday,
Yeah, I wonder if you're going to have to limit the amount of planes that he can get.
Yeah.
Because he can't, you can't have a student who's got, 25 planes.
Well, he can still only make one attack per day.
Right.
But, I mean, he can hand them out to the rest of the suburb cartel. And he can hand them out to Theo Von, who seems like he's trying to join the suburb cartel and people who are allied with him. And this is going to quickly become pretty broken.
Yeah.
Especially as he amasses more wealth, he can easily pour that into the well.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And so there's going to be a point here where I need to step in and basically say, this is snowballing out of control. And I don't know how to justify that, because, who's to say, why didn't Maxville do that?
Yeah. I understand, and I think also that if you say, to keep the game going, to keep the integrity of the game, there needs to be balance to
some
it.
Some kind of a limit on the planes.
Yeah, and I think that the kids will understand that, because they like the game, and they don't want the game, they don't want to, break it, they want to be able to play it, and I think that they understand that you have to sometimes come in and...
Yeah, I didn't see how well the game could be played, and that's going to become broken, I think.
Yeah,
that's going to become overpowered, and it needs to be kind of tapered back. And so next iteration, I'm thinking maybe boats have, like, some sort of, like, extra thing about them, and, like, you can shoot the planes down or something, and, like, they can, like, be out of the game more easily.
And then you teach Death of the Ball Turret Gunner by Randall Jarrell, the poet.
It's exactly, that was the next place I was going with that.
I don't think that the kids will have... I think that you have a justifiable reason. And while I might be like, aw, Mr. Gitterman, we're having so much... Like they might do that, but I think that they're going to be understanding to the fact that you're going to have to place limitations
and
on
Gucci
it.
Gucci Napkin, in particular, who this is going to most obviously affect, I think is a pretty reasonable guy.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to run into issues.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be, like, too upset about it. Simply because he has the firepower elsewhere as well.
Yeah.
And this has been more or less a free resource after you make the initial investment. And so that's going to be... That'll be interesting to watch. And it's... For sure something I'm going to revisit for next year. Is exactly how I want this dynamic to play out.
Well, it's good that we're documenting this then.
Yeah, it is. It is. But yeah, so that was one thing, which is like... That can simply scale too hard. And so I'm not totally sure how I'm going to limit that. I'm not totally sure when I feel the need to limit that. You know, like, is having two planes or one plane that's level 200 so overpowered when you have soldiers which are level 400 and we don't feel like it's a broken dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
And so maybe just, like, limiting how much oil can come out of an oil well. You know, like, you make an oil well and then you invest your money into it and then there's only... you know, 300 oil in there or something.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And then, like, once you extract all of that, you're kind of, you have to make a new investment.
Yeah.
But something to just keep this free resource from becoming just completely broken.
Absolutely. Well, thoughts for the future, for sure.
In other news, in non-suburb cartel-related news, we have Sugarpuff, who's been making a decent showing.
Yes.
She has set off to Italy in fourth period. She says, which one of my friends in fourth period has this territory? I'm like, oh, that's Italy. She's like, I want to attack her. So she just set off for Italy.
In a boat?
In a boat. Yeah, in a boat. And she arrives tomorrow, I believe.
Ooh, how fun.
I could be wrong. She might arrive Friday, but I think she arrives tomorrow. Anything I want to touch on here? We're going to start... It's going to be getting harder to separate these storylines as they become entangled.
Yeah,
for example, Fergus arrived at Bobbyland on Tuesday. Do I want to talk about that now or when I'm talking about fourth period?
We might have to just start doing things by day.
That'd be difficult.
You think?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know for sure.
I think that we're just going to trust that our listeners have a high enough comprehension that they're going to be able to follow what we're saying.
Right. I'm going to talk about it now. I think
it makes more sense
to talk about it now. Basically, Fergus arrived at Bobbyland. They struck a deal.
Right, because he was a merchant ship, he said?
Yeah, he was a merchant ship.
Yeah.
But we're getting this really kind of interesting... dynamic wherein Fergus wants to launch an attack from Bobbyland, and so as the boat was traveling, he bought a soldier, right? And he wanted to add it to the Bucky Barnes of fourth period.
Okay,
does that make sense?
Yes.
So right, okay. But we had this issue where I was like, soldiers are a physical resource; they need to be transported.
Agreed.
But if he just bought one while he was in second period, he wouldn't need to transport it from fourth. Right? Like, he lands in second period. He buys the land.
Oh, okay.
You know, he can launch from there. But his... Like, how do you kind of justify the soldiers kind of teleporting from fourth to second, then?
They don't. They have to take a boat or a plane.
Right, exactly. So what we said was... if he had a perfect comprehension of the rules, what he would have done is, once the boat landed, he would have bought his super soldier, and he would not have been able to combine it with the big super soldier from fourth.
Right, yes.
And so he has a super soldier that's currently in second period, who is a strength of, I think, 495. It's very strong.
That's a very strong
soldier.
It's
even stronger than Gucci Napkins. And he wants to make an attack. And there was this interesting kind of questions, like, whose laws do you follow? Do you follow the side that's attacking, or do you follow the land who you're attacking?
Oh, this is a very good question.
We have different laws. We have different laws and different things. And some of the laws are about the game rules. And so we decided that, or I've kind of decided that it's the island that you're attacking,
mm-hmm.
the island that you're on, those are the rules you have to follow.
Okay, that seems right.
It mm-hmm. seems like it makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's this other dynamic where Fergus is going to launch this attack. Does the other side get to up their defenses during the Window of Tranquility?
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, I've been wondering how you are going to handle these attacks when they're kind of happening at different times.
Right. And I think I'm going to argue no, that you cannot upgrade that defense. And it was actually Fergus who came up with the reasoning was he should have the right to know how much the defense is that he's attacking.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And ultimately, especially because Fergus attacked by boat, like the person he's attacking is going to like have seen the boat coming.
Right.
Like,
so they have to declare
time.
Where they're docking.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They had a very long time to see that boat coming. Mm-hmm. They had, like, 3 days to see the boat was coming. If you didn't up your defenses at all, that's kind of on you.
But like, what about a plane?
The window of... Yeah, well, it's harder to justify, but I think the same logic still applies. It's like, you should have the right to know the defenses of those you're attacking.
Right.
Yeah?
Okay, I'm following, yeah. All right. So when do you decide who wins? Like when do you do the random number generation?
When the person who's defending is during their period.
During the defending person's period.
Right.
So if someone in second period wants to attack fourth period, they would say, they're declaring their attack, here I am with my boat. And then you'd be like, cool, and you drop that down. And then when fourth period comes in, you say, hey, uh-huh. so-and-so, you've been attacked by this person
exactly.
in second. Okay.
Exactly.
So then second period would have to wait till the next day to figure out if their attack was successful.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Or they'll come in at lunch if they're invested. We probably will have to break this into two parts. But
that's all right.
Before we do that, I want to talk about kind of this difficulty that I've had with third period.
Tell me about this difficulty.
Because third period has not been playing the game.
Right.
And the game takes up like a decent amount of class time.
Yeah.
And
how
so
much class time would you say?
Depends on the period. Fourth period can like very easily go the whole class.
Okay.
Fourth period can like easily go the whole class, and like I feel like they're engaged in like something that is like academic, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I never feel like they're just goofing off. Second period, usually it takes like 15 minutes, maybe 20.
Okay.
But like that's a big chunk of class in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and so second period can take like 20 minutes. The fourth period can take like the whole time. And so I'll have like an activity in third, and like if I'm planning all of my classes the same, that makes it really difficult.
Yeah, that makes it very, very basically impossible.
Yeah, basically logistically
to
impossible.
Plan, yeah.
So I'm basically there's these like large gaps of like empty time in third.
Yeah.
And I'm not totally sure how to handle that because I'm planning more for the other ones. But, like, I'm like, do I bring in another activity just for third period? How am I dealing with that in the grade book? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's very complicated. Did you want suggestions?
Yeah, give me your ideas.
So my first thought, which I don't know how happy you're going to be about my first thought, but is that you need to limit the amount of there needs to be a set amount of class time on a 50-minute period and on a block day that mm-hmm. you dedicate to the game.
Sure.
And I know that you're not going to be happy with the thought because you're super excited about how everyone is
yeah.
engaged, and
mm-hmm.
I agree with you. It's very academic. We've mm-hmm. actually, since you mentioned it, we have looked at the standards, and this
mm-hmm.
activity is meeting huge amount,
mm-hmm.
basically all the speaking and listening and
mm-hmm.
several of the reading and writing standards
mm-hmm.
for their grade level. So it's not that it's not an academic thing. It's just that we do have, like, goals as a school that we
sure,
want everyone
yeah.
who's in junior English
to read the Great Gatsby.
To read the Great Gatsby, for example, on two things. So, and then also the toll and load on you to have to plan an account for all that stuff. I think you need to, that would be my first suggestion, is to set a hard and fast limit. We are only spending a maximum of 15 minutes on this in a 50-minute period, or whatever you decide.
I'm pretty comfortable with that in second, because, like, the people, like, I've been able to, I've talked about this before, second's ability to transfer.
Yeah.
You know, and second's ability to stop what they're doing and move on, or just have their own little side conversations, but, like, quiet enough that other people can work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fourth period, I think, is a different animal. Fourth period, I'm tempted to kind of just give everything as homework. You know, like, that's kind of the temptation there, is just, like, because they're so engaged in it and they're engaged in the economy of it, I might be able to get away with that. We'll see. I actually, was it Tuesday? I actually did this. I basically, because we had an ed puzzle that they were supposed to be doing, where they went the whole class time. I'm like, all right, the ed puzzle is homework. I will be grading that. And we're going to see, as of tomorrow, how effective that was, you know.
I'm not a huge fan of that suggestion.
I'm not a huge fan either, but, I mean, you'll see once we get to the fourth period episode, like, exactly what was happening there and why it was so hard to stop it.
Right.
As the teacher.
For the future, I think that you need to think about the time, a time cap possibility.
Yeah.
And as far as third, I think you either try to reintroduce it, whatever the time cap is.
Mm-hmm.
You either try to reintroduce it, or you supplement with another activity that doesn't necessarily have to be something that you grade, you know? And I think we could do some brainstorming on that, but it's something that's, like, little to no prep that would still encourage, like, classroom community and team building and stuff like that, but that would not be...
Well, interestingly, third has actually been reviving the game.
Okay,
this is my transition, the thing I wanted to talk about before we went into fourth.
Maybe we don't have to worry about it.
We do, maybe we don't. Largely, the class still doesn't have buy-in.
Okay.
But we've got a couple kids, Freak Zone, Triplin, and Big Guy, who are kind of, like, hearing about it through their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, at first, Freak Zone, like, came to me, like, last week. He's like, hey, can I sell my stocks? And I kind of didn't believe him. I kind of thought he was just going to, like, give the money to Maxville or something, and like when he wasn't supposed to. So I was like, oh yeah, like, let me update the thing. And then, like, I updated it, but, like, he was gonna have to come to me again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did. So I'm like, okay, you're actually kind of serious. You actually do want to play this again. So I let him sell the stocks, buying, selling. He bought some soldiers. He bought a soldier for 150.
Okay.
Excuse me, and attacked Zest Zone.
Oh, okay.
Not to be confused with him, who's a Freak Zone attack Zest Zone.
Yeah,
Just takes all his stock, because Zest Zone doesn't care about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then Triplin bought a soldier for $5 and attacked Bittersweet. Only took $5 from her, because, I mean, I think even unengaged, she knows that anything else would be a bad deal.
Yeah.
But, and then... You know, Freak Zone took the influx of money from Zest Zone. He added it to himself, has, like, a $295 soldier, which is, like, now the third strongest soldier in the game.
Yeah, very, very strong.
And he's kind of just, like, attacking people. And, like, so today he attacked Evergarden and took her whole stock and her land. And, like, because these people kind of don't care. And I'm like, you're playing this game better than everybody else is. Like,
yeah.
Like, you waited till people didn't care, and then, like, you can just make whatever surrender agreement you want, because they're not invested. And, like, the other people on the other islands are. And so, so you're gonna be fine there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what his net worth is right now, but he's racking it up real fast.
I wonder if him doing that will kind of, like, reinvigorate.
I think it'll reinvigorate a few kids. And
yeah.
You know, like, Triplin is also making moves. He bought a $5, a level 5 mine, like, Monday, and now he cashed out and bought a boat as of today.
Okay.
And with that, he set sail for Hamburger, which is in fourth period, which is a coastal town on fourth period, so that he can, so that he can formalize his alliance with Maxville.
Got it.
But yeah. You know, we also have Strawberry, like, sold all of his stock to Big Guy Land for a dollar just because he, like, wanted to help him out, I guess, and, like, he wasn't super invested, but Big Guy Land seems like he wants to make moves, and Big Guy had, like, previously sold all of his own stock for a dollar, and so it's, I don't know if there's some sort of reciprocity there that's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so third period might be getting in the game, and if Freakzone is really serious, he could, like, become a very strong player here.
For sure.
Very quickly. Because people aren't putting up any kind of defenses. They're like, oh, yeah. I'm being attacked? What does that mean? I'm like, yeah, it's like, kind of explain it. And they're like, you can just have my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
it was funny, actually. Freakzone, one of his first attacks was, like, he was about to declare on Triplin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you want to attack the only other guy who might attack you back? Like, it was a very funny moment. But anyway, so I think that's it for second and third. And then we'll kind of cut a break in here, and we'll start the next episode for fourth. So
okay,
for now,
vaya con Dios,
permanecer con Dios.